Pente 5, Pentecost 50. It's 50 days since Easter Day. There we are. That's a fascinating fact. I just thought I'd let you have that. And we celebrate this annual event, which is to show that God is here. So Pentecost is a reminder that God is here. He's not there or over there and never here with me or with us. God is here. God's everywhere. But Pentecost reminds us that his spirit, Jesus, left the planet. He died, came back to life, stayed around for a bit. He ate a bit of fish on the beach, chilled out with his mates, and then ascended and is now in heaven. But he left his spirit. And I've heard so many sermons on Pentecost. And actually, sometimes we can just go through the historic event. And we go, that's really interesting, fire and wind and all that stuff. But it happened to a group of guys wearing long Middle Eastern robes in an upper room 2,000 years ago. And it's actually not relevant to me today. Well, actually, it is totally relevant because Pentecost reminds us that God is here. And we're asking people in the light of that to join us, because God's in this place. God's with us, this people. Do you want to join us? And our theme this year in the mornings and the evenings as well is join us in building community. And in the mornings, we're looking at this, learning from the Bible, the local church, this church in Thessaloniki. And the theme this morning, last time in the morning, Tom spoke on a beautiful life. This time, we're going to look at this, a different life. The Spirit is here. He's here in this place, and he's calling us to live a different life. Whether you're here for the first time this morning in church, or you've just started coming, or you've been coming for 40 years, this is the day the Spirit of God says, lead a different life today. Now, I couldn't resist putting this one in, could I really? So, who saw that? Put your hands up if you watched. Okay, hands down. Put your hands up if you're a man and you watched it. Yes! Get in touch with the romantic men. I know we're Sheffield and we're Northern and we're all that, you know. And I know the main event was the cup final. I thought this was the main event. I thought it was absolutely amazing. I cut the grass, washed the car, prayed for the whole community, went and led 15 people to Christ, then I watched the... No, I didn't. Then I went to, I thought, shall I do some mining or shall I watch the wedding? So I watched the wedding. And actually, the whole aim of that was the power of love. And Michael Curry's talk was absolutely spectacular. I was actually weeping. 2 billion people. 2 billion people tuned into that wedding service. And even if half of them walked out when it came to the sermon, at least 1 billion people heard the gospel. It was a gospel presentation. It wasn't faffing around. It was the gospel. He spoke about love being this revolution that, and he mentioned Jesus Christ, which is a bonus in any church, but he mentioned Jesus Christ starting a movement of love. And he also said that if we got hold of this, as Martin Luther King, great preacher himself, said, this whole world maybe would change. It changes by the power of love. And I was so grateful. I said to Tricia, for the first time before I died, I've heard the gospel preached worldwide. The power of love. I couldn't resist that one. And actually, a different life is a life which is, at its heart, has the power of love. So we'll look at the Bible. We'll see what Thessalonians says this morning. Okay. Are we okay to go through this passage? And then kind of 3 things for us to think about, and then we'll respond and have a final fantastic song, which I've asked Becca to do at the end. It's a great song. So Paul says this, right at the end. Well, next week, Casey's on, we'll be looking at 2 Thessalonians, his second letter. First one got lost in the post, so he sent another one. No, he didn't. Don't believe that. So this is the end of this letter, and he says this. This is from the Message Bible. If you want to follow it in the blue one, it's slightly different. This is from the Message translation. That's wrong, it's the Message. It isn't NIV, that's somebody who did that slide just got it wrong. Oh, it was me. It was the NIV, and I changed it on Saturday to the Message because I just love the version in the Message. So, build up hope so you'll all be together in this. No one left out, no one left behind. I know you're already doing this, just keep doing it. In the blue Bibles there, the NIV says, encourage one another. And so one of his final words to the church is encourage one another. It's one of the greatest things you can have in your life to be an encourager, to go to someone and say, you're doing good. If you're a parent, encourage your children. Encourage them, even if they don't make the grades that you want for them. Encourage them, because encouragement, the heart of encouragement is love. And so he's saying here to this church, build up hope. When you're encouraged, hope is built in your life. So today, who can you encourage? Because when you encourage, you leave no one out. Everyone's part of this, he's saying. Let's see what he says next. And now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. And the word overwhelmed there in the original, the Greek it was written in, means over and above the normal. And he's talking here about leaders, the elders of the church. So he's saying here, bless your leaders in the church. Amen. Thank you, sister. I'll take that one. And actually, I've been a leader in the church. I've been ordained 28 years now. I was kind of 16 when I got ordained. And one of the things I've seen is this, is that so often I've met with hundreds and hundreds of church leaders on conferences and people coming here and huddles and connections. And one of the things that comes back time and time again is that many church leaders are not honored in their church families. They are criticized often. There's nothing wrong with a critique, but the criticism. And it's like when you're a leader in any organization, you're opened up for a critique, and that's right and proper. But actually, in the church, what I've seen is, it's as if leaders in the church, pastors, are public property to be slagged off right, left, and center. Some don't let that happen. I've never let that happen with me. But some find it difficult, and I think it's wrong with any leader to be so negative it draws them down, because he's just said encourage one another. And actually, I tell you, one way that leaders in the church in this country could be encouraged and built up and honored, elephant in the room, pay them a flipping decent salary. The payment of church leaders in this country is pathetic. It really is. And every now and again, it slips behind and somebody goes, oh, we better pay them a bit more. Ooh, and it's a big catch-up. And then everybody else presses on. So you may not know this, but the average stipend in the Church of England and pastors in most ordinary churches is behind the national average, the national average wage or salary. But you get a free house in some churches. Yeah, big deal. It's a house, it's too big usually to live in. You can't heat it. Pigeons in the loft or whatever. And, everybody knows where you live and your doorbell rings at all times. Who wants to live in a house like that? I'd rather buy my own and live where I want to live. But actually, and we are grateful. Church leaders are great. It's a calling. But actually, there's a responsibility to the church family, he's saying here, to, as he puts it, honor those leaders who work so hard for you. And there are some who don't work hard. I understand that. But generally, they do work hard. They urge you and guide you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. Usually manifests as Thornton's Continentals and Croft Original, as I've said many times. That's a great way of overwhelming them. So he's saying right at the end, bless your leaders. Encourage the family. Bless your leaders. Get along amongst yourselves each of you doing your part. Our counsel is that you warn the freeloaders. That's why I put. That's why I did the message, because I love that term. In your blue Bible, it says the idle. And so if you find somebody who's idle, you need to go to them and say, you're idle. You're a freeloader. I'm not American. You're still a freeloader. I love that. Warn the freeloaders to get a move on. I love that. Gently encourage the stragglers. Reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. And so he's saying, get along with each other. But if you see somebody in your community who is not pulling their weight, who wants, and this is what happens in the church, people want influence, but no responsibility. Everybody wants to run the thing, but doesn't want to take responsibility for it. That's a freeloader. And my experience, not this church, this is a flipping unique church, I'm telling you. But my experience in many churches is everybody can run it better than the leader. Everybody can run it better than the vicar or the Baptist pastor, whatever, until they actually stand here and think, and I'll leave it. And so he's saying, everybody play their part. If somebody's not pulling their weight, it's our responsibility to say, come on, what's wrong? How can we help you? That's why we have communities. Encourage the stragglers. If we see people who are getting left behind, in whatever way, the group's doing this, the church is doing this, people are getting left behind, we have a responsibility to say, whoa, 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 just let's go back. How can I, let me carry you for a while. The scriptures say, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are called to be on the lookout. I look amongst you now and I know people here who are not well. I know people who have got family are not well. We need to bear their burdens. And if that's you today, at the end of this gathering, I want you to come forward and the team are going to pray for you. If you've got somebody at home who's not well, don't think, oh, I'll not bother. Get down here. As your church leader, I'm calling you to obedience. Come down here so we can encourage you. If you're exhausted, if you're tired, come down here for a few moments so we can pray for you on behalf of the church. And then he says, be patient with each person, attentive to individual needs. This is one of the greatest gifts the church can have. Patience. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Patience. It's one I struggle with. I find it hard to be patient sometimes with people. I often say the church would be amazing if it wasn't for the people. Not this church, of course. Patience is a gift. You encourage people when you're patient and you listen to them. And that's why communities are so important in the week. So you get a space where you can share what's happening in your life. And you know people are not going to criticize, they're going to listen. They may challenge you and encourage you, but they will listen to you. Let's see what else he says here. Be careful when you get on each other's nerves and don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. There's a lot of things there Paul's saying to this church. I'm going to ask you to pause a moment and turn to the person next to you. Right from the previous slide, encourage one another about leaders. He gives four or five key things here about challenging freeloaders or the idle, about helping the stragglers, encouraging the exhausted. Don't get on each other's nerves. Don't snap at each other. Look for the best. What's God said to you already this morning? Just for a minute. I want you to think. Has the Lord been saying to you, that's you? Perhaps just a little bit glass half empty. I want you to be glass half full. Don't look for it to go wrong. Look for it's going to go right. Look to encourage, not to bring down. Don't let your personal angst overflow and snap other people's heads off. What is it God's saying to you? It's hard, this scripture. It's really, really hard. Or maybe seeing that picture of that couple, what stayed with you is, I need more of that power of love in my life. Talk to the person next to you. 1 minute, what's God saying to you already in this little talk? Okay. Why don't you remember that? Because this is how God speaks to us. We read the Bible, or somebody opens the Bible up, having looked at it and kind of prayed over it, and opens the Bible up to us, and God speaks to us in this way. Let's see what else he says. Just bring this into land now. Be cheerful no matter what. There's three things here which I'm just going to come back to in a few moments. He says, be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. In your Bibles, these famous three verses, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. People often say to me, mate, you're an experienced, blessed leader. And I often go, is that me you're talking to? What do you think I ought to do with my life? Young people often say this. Why do you think God's calling me? I say, I really don't know. But what I can say is this, with certainty, I know what God's will for your life is. What is it? Pen and paper, I'll write it down. It's this. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Because the Bible says that's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, the message says, be cheerful no matter what, pray all the time, thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you belong to Christ Jesus to live. And don't suppress the Spirit. What happened in St. George's Chapel yesterday? The Spirit sneaked out, didn't he? He was hiding in the vestry, behind the robing cupboard. And when everybody gone, he went, right, I'm going to have some fun now. And I'm going to use you, buddy. I'm going to use you, Michael Curry, to do this. And when I'm out there, let's see what the response is going to be. So he's giving it large. But it's kind of like the Spirit would not be suppressed. It was a time in history, and I believe it's true, that seeds were sown yesterday, which could change lots and lots of things. I was saying to Tricia, there'd be a great rush to get married at St. George's Chapel. Sorry, it's not on. Come here, we'll do it very similar. We'll put candles on a thing there. And we'd charge £5,000 for a wedding. And there will be a change. And I absolutely am sure that people woke up this morning and people have gone to church. People will have gone to church. You may be here this morning because you saw that and thought, I am going to go and check this out. And I believe people will start coming here because you can't suppress the Spirit. Do not suppress the Spirit, he says here. Don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. People speaking out in the congregation or coming up afterwards. Always listen to what people are saying. On the other hand, don't be gullible, he says. Check out everything and keep only what's good throughout anything tainted with evil. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole. The word holy is different. It means holy. It means different. Live a different life, he's saying. May this God make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. The church in our nation is massively in decline. Children aren't coming anymore. They're not hearing the story of Jesus anymore. Our teenagers, it's in the balance what's happening with our teenagers. And we have been praying and praying and praying along with other churches and other people saying, God, you've said you could do this. Do it. And yesterday, I believe, he sneaked in and he said, I can do it. I've been hiding in the vestry. And when they were all sat in their seats, I came out And I told them about the power of love, about the power of my son, about the power of this movement, which can change not just church, and that's the issue. People think, yeah, it's good. It's a church. He said it can change governments. It can change businesses. It can change everything. When there will be no more poverty, and we will beat these weapons into plowshares, and we ain't going to study war no more. Amen? Amen? Amen. Don't suppress the spirit. That's what Paul is saying here. What does this mean for us? Well, let me bring it in here. Friends, keep your prayers for us. Greet all the followers of Jesus with a holy embrace. Make sure this letter gets read to all the brothers and sisters. Don't leave anybody out. The amazing grace of Jesus Christ be with you. And the message to us is this, what we said a few weeks ago. This word rescue. Jesus has called us into this rescue mission. If you're a Christian, hallelujah. Who isn't a Christian? That's who needs rescuing. Our young people, our children, our teenagers. We have got an incredible responsibility. We have got the Hire Tour coming next March to South Yorkshire. We've been praying for 8 years with Shine, the Shine movement, and we're praying that we'll be in 30 high schools, 34,000 teenagers hearing the gospel. This has never been done before. It's the first time in a generation this has been done in South Yorkshire. And God has said, I'm going to do it. Who's up for it? Because these kids need rescuing. They need rescuing. And this is on this day, we need to remember this. This man. Buzz Lightyear. He's always rescuing people. And I could not resist showing you this. This is rescue. This is what I want to do. I'm going to pull the lights down now. Let's watch this. This is so holy and spiritual. Let's watch this. I love that man. I want to be like him one day. I really do. Rescue behind everything we do in this church. It's like faded a bit, but it's in the background of everything. You may think you come to church just to come to church, to be blessed by God. You're not. You are a rescue agent. We've used the picture of the lifeboat people. You know, when you hear the klaxon, leave your work and get down there to that boat because you've been called to rescue someone from the ocean. When we hear the call of God, we remember we're rescue agents. I said a few weeks ago, it may be somebody at a photocopier at work says, when you say, how are you? You go, I don't. They go, I don't. I'm struggling. It's the klaxon. Bap, bap, bap. That's when God says, pray with them. Or it may be somebody at the school gates or a friend or a colleague. How are you? Yeah, okay. I don't know. I saw the royal wedding. It was interesting, wasn't it? Bap, bap. The klaxon's going off. Right. Do you want to come to our church on Sunday? We are rescue agents. If you're in the rescue boat and don't play your part, you will get kicked out. You need to be ready to play your part. There are no freeloaders in the lifeboat. Even if you make the tea, there's nothing like a cup of tea when you've been near death in the water and you get pulled out. We all play our part. And what the Spirit does, this is why Pentecost is so important. The Spirit moves. He empowers this sense of rescue. When we see individuals or we see people or we see kids, he empowers us to do something. And as we move on from this, these are the things he calls us to do. Three things, three great truths. He says, be cheerful no matter what. When people at work see you being cheerful, even though they know life's not easy for you, they ask questions. Why are you like that? Rejoice is the word. The word joy, it means the unmerited favor of God. When that's in your life, people take notice. The second thing he says is this, Be cheerful, no matter what. And he says this, remember, pray. All the time, pray. And again, the word in the original means with no gaps. Continuously pray. Watch this one. This is not Buzz Lightyear. This is more powerful, I think. It's an archbishop. Just watch this little clip. It's just for a minute and a bit. I love this clip. Just bring the lights down again. I love that. It's great. And when we pray, God starts to move. And I want to encourage you, just bringing this into line with one more thing here, is that over the next weeks, we've been diligent as a staff team about this. We will start to release resources, not just online, but actually simple things like a simple card, an invitation card, thousands of them, so we can give them to our friends and say, simply, do you want to come to church on Sunday? For that to happen, you need confidence in your church, that it's neither cheesy nor wacky. I don't think this church is. I think it's okay. Well, at least there's going to be a new chair and a free coffee. Although we are thinking of charging 15 quid for a coffee and a biscuit, but got to get the money somehow. And but seriously, invite a friend to church. And they may say no. I've said many times, I was asked 10 times to come to church by my friend. On the 9th time, I said, if you ask me again, we're finished. Our friendship is done, Roger. And he asked me again. And he said, I've got to ask you because this is more important than our friendship, mate. And I came. And that was the beginning of a great journey. So let's keep praying. And then finally, thank God no matter what happens. Whether people come to church, who you ask, or they don't come, just thank God. Thank God for your life. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your church. Thank God for your future. Thank God no matter what happens. These are the three great truths that Paul says to the Thessalonians, do, because he knows this is the way God wants you to live. And actually, as we start to do these things, and many of you here are doing this, but as the more we do it, the more we are cheerful or rejoice, the more we pray, the more we are thankful to God for the blessings in our lives, what happens is this, the Spirit moves even more. And as we, the more we do it, this graphic is amazing, the Spirit moves even more. He just expands himself in us. And we will start to see the things we've longed for in our lives and in our generation. We will start to see teenagers queuing up on a Friday night to get into this place. We will see issues of where to put our children because we'll have so many on a Sunday. We will see the friends you want to bring to church coming. You will see your family who you prayed for 19 years. 19 years. We've just got to hang in there, people. God sneaked in. He was in the vestry yesterday. He's here. God is here. Because when we do this, rescue is right at the center. And when it's at the center, when we say as a church, God, that's what we're about. It's great having a bit of peace. It's great having a little bit of this, that, and the other, and coming to church and feeling better. But God, I'm putting the yellows on. I'm a rescuer. I'm a spiritual lifeboat person. I don't know what I'm going to do. I may be making the tea. I may be dragging the boat back up on the slip road. But I'm going to do it, God. I'm going to be part of a rescue plan. When we do that, God is here. Join us. We will see the breakthroughs that we long for.